Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I'm joined by Van Gelder. Not really much of a full house today, but still a lot to talk about. So we'll jump right into it.
You yourself, I'm not saying you then God get beef. But if this kind of hatred, you know they make people go heaven.
No, be me, I born you. So the poor people them born you. Me, they can ask you how they do. Me, I don't get anything ask you. So let's just jump right into it. So, in the biggest sporting news of the weekend, we saw the culmination of a sports event that has captivated the hearts of many people around the globe over the past couple of weeks. And in the final, that produced a result that not many people were expecting. Yannick Sinner beat Carlos Alcaraz in the final of Wimbledon. Charlie, it was an amazing final. Like, honestly, over the weekend, nothing else really important happened. That was really just the only serious thing that happened. So, yeah. Me, my heart is hurting a little bit because Novak Djokovic is looking very weathered now, Charlie. Right now, it faces the fan belt tear and things, but I would do. I'm like, age catches up with everybody.
But shout out to Kumu. Also,
shout out to Kumu. But yeah, also,
Hey, make a comment for that tin top. I don't make a comment. Today be me that you but why they won't do like we get there for 2 minutes and we go end there, we go out. Why? Make a comment. I want to shout out to Kowo because Oluman in fan belt make loose. But yeah, I mean it was very impressive display by Sinner. He showed a certain level of focus, willingness, application, and just such a strong mentality, having lost just recently to this same guy in Alcaraz, right? And somebody put out a tweet that said, that I think perfectly sounds like, is it Alcaraz, if he makes serious more, then he won't do playful this thing, he won't play small, but you can see that Sinner be them people some, if then they can't school, then tack in already. Then they wear white socks, then polish them a black shoe, then kind of serious person with life and everything. He doesn't have time for games. And it's a very interesting mix because I've never seen the most... I've never seen somebody whose name doesn't sound Italian, but it is Italian, and whose first language is German. I mean, I don't see some people...
He doesn't even look Italian too.
If you tell me that guy be Swedish or something, I go take him like that. I never go take say he's Italian.
He looks but somewhere, Irish.
Somehow, he's an Italian. He's an Italian and he's won. And that it was a very impressive display, especially having to do sort of like a comeback, you know, losing the first set and then just coming back and just, you know, slapping Alcaraz. And it's no mean feat because Alcaraz is really, really good. A very good tennis player. And I hope that both of them can, you know, keep playing at this high level, you know, just not get injured and all of those things, so that we can get that duopoly sort of a thing going again. Because in those days when my boy, Rafa Nadal, was up against, you know, the respectable gentleman, Roger Federer, it was a very fantastic time. You knew that those two men, on any given day, you are watching the best form of high-quality tennis that you can ever get, right? And then some imposter we can't pass through, we can't score everything, just to do whatever he did like. Then, but so yeah, Now that his time is almost up and he's exiting, I'm glad to see that there are younger tennis players who are serious, or like all those other people, Zverev and all them people, who are not serious with life. But two tennis players who are very serious, who are committed to their craft, who play really, really well. And whenever they meet, we know that it's a very good matchup and we are going to enjoy some high-quality tennis. It's good to have good quality tennis back on our screens. And long may it continue. I'm just happy that at least now we have another duopoly building. And it's not like, it doesn't have like that kind of animosity or anything. They're just two very good players. And whenever they meet, they both want to compete and win. And so whoever wins is the best on the day. And then they move on to the next. So long may it continue. Of course, as a Nadal fan, it's very natural that I've evolved into an Alcaraz fan. But yeah, I hope that my boy next time, if he catch sinner, he go make it not say God they give deliverance, so you know for 10 sinner.
So anyway, in other minor news that happened over the weekend, Chelsea Football Club won the Donald Trump Invitational Trophy played in America over the past couple of weeks. A trophy that was heavily sponsored by Saudi Arabia, probably used to funnel funds into certain clubs. I don't know. That's just what the streets are saying. I'm just echoing what I've heard. So yeah, Chelsea won a tiny trophy in America, a country that calls it soccer. So I don't even know whether I can put too much value on such a trophy win. So honestly, if you ask me, it's a sad day for football, because anytime two oil money clubs who basically financially doped themselves to get to where they are meet in the final, I'm sure the football gods cry all over the world, because this is not what they envisioned for the sport. This is not what they expected the sport to become. They always wanted a level playing field, being full of clubs that have pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, just having healthy competition, no unfair advantage or anything. But actually, life there, so a day. One thing I've learned over the weekend is that a lot of times, evil triumphs over good. So with that being said, Vangelda, how do you feel about your club winning a trophy that had Donald Trump featuring heavily in your trophy celebrations? Such a stain and insult and spit on the good name of football.
First of all, I have no idea why that man was there. But clearly, that's very Trumpian, isn't it? He likes things and he likes to be the center of attention. And I won't be shocked if he does the same thing next year at the FIFA World Cup, right? Anyway, I'm just glad that my club is playing the FIFA-approved tournament. You know, one that is actually all the best teams in the world who have won trophies in their continents and are regarded highly as continental champions come together to battle it out so we can find who the best club in world football is.
Point of
and that we don't have to engage
not
in
every club
Thailand.
Is a continental champion. Which continental? Benfica, then Red Bull, Salzburg, and since which they're the champion of which continent?
They're the champions of Austria and the champions of Portugal, respectively. Right?
Put some respect. Lisbon is the champion of Portugal.
Put some respect on their name. Okay? Put some respect on their name.
You see,
we are playing in a FIFA approved tournament. We don't have to play Thailand 11 to make 40 pesos. We don't have to play against Mongolia 16 just to make 80 CDs so that we can pay our staff and things. By the way, I hear my church is organizing a tournament. The winner takes £10,000. So if Manchester United is, you know, interested, I know you guys are hard for cash. We'll be happy to have you in the invitation. And of course, you know, if you win, you can take the 10,000. But at every point in time, just for participating, it's £500. We can pay you that and help you out, right? But in any case, if you've not heard it and you live under a rock and you want to be like Smiley and pretend like it doesn't matter, Chelsea are world champions. And it's a fantastic day to be a Chelsea fan. I don't know what these other clubs who were not good enough to make it there feel about themselves and why they think that their opinions of making it, oh, it's too small, this is a glorified preseason friendly and whatnot. I don't know why you think your opinions matter. FIFA, the governing body of world football, says this is their biggest club competition. And all those other ones that you won are called the Intercontinental Cups. So Chelsea are the only club that have ever won the FIFA Club World Cup. And now world champions for the next 4 years. You must be ready to absorb whatever that means. You must be ready to address us as such. Whether we win or we lose or we draw or we don't win any trophy between now and the 2029, we are still world champions and we'll be the first ever club to have won the Club World Cup. If you get your football up and you actually make some signings and don't spend 84 years negotiating for one player, you might actually win some things called trophies. And when you do, you might play in those competitions. or if you actually play football and score goals, and don't say, oh, I was good because I had better XG than the team that actually won the match, you will progress. And then you will win things called trophies. And those trophies will allow you to also feature in this prestigious tournament. I hear that all the footballing bodies across the galaxy are coming together to put a competition, and Chelsea has to represent Earth. So, what shall we say? What shall we do? If you are the best team in the world, what more can one say? What more can one do? I feel bad for you, because it's really a bad day to be a Chelsea hater. And you see, the good thing is we didn't do it by beating a flimsy team. We beat the best team, the supposed best team in the world. We didn't just beat them. We battered them. And everybody that was watching could not believe their eyes. Could you believe your eyes? No, you couldn't. We're like, huh? What's going on here? What's happening? And, you know, because we are a team full of children of God, we actually won. We beat them so badly, their manager started throwing hands on our players. If you can't win by tactics, you know, when I was a kid, they used to say something on the pitches of Padabraka. If you miss the ball, don't miss the idiots. That's exactly what Luis Enrique was doing. And I understand why when he interviewed for the Chelsea job, we had to pass him out. If this is the kind of attitude a manager brings when he loses a very important final, yeah, I don't think we won that in the great establishment, Chelsea Football Club, world champions. So thank you for, you know, acknowledging it. Thank you for seeing it. It is a fact, whether I like it or not. The badge is on our jersey. And for the next 4 years, every time we meet you, and you have the honor of sharing the pitch with us, you will see it. Big, golden, world champions, FIFA. This is not some small Oba Ahima Ejewa Cup where you will put the play for them Thailand, so say you go figure out some small coins, take buy boots, take fix your leaks. No be that one so more. No be that one so. This is real, tangible competitions handled by FIFA. You will fast the FIFA and get like them go do some bad. They don't have the facilities for that, so what do I know? Anyway, back to you.
You know, like I said, it's a sad weekend for football. It's been just a sad weekend for football. And when you talk about FIFA-sanctioned tournaments, FIFA is widely acknowledged as one of the most corrupt institutions in this globe. So if FIFA sanctions something, it is no justification or proof or evidence of anything except that a corrupt institution has sanctioned something. So congratulations on a corrupt institution giving you some sort of validation. You've done well.
It is a governing body of world football. If you subscribe to football, whether it's a corrupt institution or not, whether they take money from Saudi Arabia or from Qatar, whether they you know, they are close to people from Egypt or they are close to people from Nicaragua, they are the only people that can bring all the teams across the world. And I must say that Chelsea are truly world champions. Because when I look back on this season, we played all manner of teams in all manner of places. We went to Kazakhstan. Do you know the way to Kazakhstan? You don't even know the place. We played a team called Noah, who are now our boys, by the shout out FC Noah and FC Servette. Those are our boys. You don't know them, but what do we know? Never discount the friends you make along on the journey. We went high and low, mountains and valleys. Sometimes we had to play in places that were dangerous. Like when we went to play with Legia Warsaw. Dangerous place. But you go there, you do your job, and you come back home. All manner of places. And it's so fitting that after going through the whole world and playing all manner of teams in all manner of places, overcoming all manner of adversity, we come and meet the supposed best team in the world. And it wasn't even a contest. Everybody said Chelsea had the weakest route to the Club World Cup final. I can tell you on authority that the final was the easiest game we played in this tournament. It was far easier than Flamengo, which we lost, was far easier than Fluminense, was far easier than Palmeiras, where our own new star boy Estevao even scored against us. It was even easier than, you know, Los Angeles FC that we played against. And it was almost on par with how we played against Esperance de Tunis. So it wasn't an easy ride here. But we are grateful to God that we got the easiest final ever. And that means that we are your best team in the world. Whether you choose to accept it or not, whether you like it or not, whether it's a good day or a bad day, that those opinions are like gnosis, and everybody has one. The fact is that Chelsea is the best team in club football, and we will remain so for 4 years. When you win yours, then you come and chat to us, yeah? Okay. You can continue.
Okay. So, like, the people who think that, like, when, like, a result that I'm not too happy with happens, like, you think that I'm the type of person who you go fit call me then laugh plus me, sell the Chelsea word, Man United lost that kind of thing. See, I don't know what about me has given people the impression that I no be sore loser. Like, I no go laugh plus you. I no share any call. I no go pick your call. Like, make you no call me because I no get anything positive tell you. So I don't know why every time, like, since yesterday, like, play, I get like 5 calls from Chelsea fans. I no answer one safe. Like, I don't know why they call me and they talk, like, laugh plus me. Oh, Chelsea win. And they say, then I just go laugh small. Then we just go discuss the matches. I no go discuss anything plus you safe. I don't want to hear anything about them. So, like, make you no think, say, me, I no be sore loser or something. I'll be the worst sore loser ever. So, I beg, make you know it. Think that,
are you worse than Luis Enrique? He said he's not a loser, by the way. He's a runner-up. So, hey, what can we do? If you lose, you can ascribe to yourself anything you like.
You caught a depleted team on their worst day. A team that was missing their best player. So,
who's their best player, by the way?
Pacho.
It's unfortunate. We would like to play them when Pacho is there, and I don't think the results will be any different.
Best player, but how we could do them. So yeah, me honestly, like, I wish I had anything positive to say, but I have nothing to say. Like,
did you enjoy the game at least? Did you watch it? Did you enjoy it?
I didn't enjoy it. Very terrible game, personally.
If
there's anything positive I want to say, maybe the weather was very nice at the stadium. The turnout was very good.
Did you enjoy the halftime show? It was really nice.
The performances were terrible. Terrible performances.
Coldplay was there.
I think it might be the worst halftime show I've ever watched in my life. I don't think there are any major positives to take away from the game, but the Americanization of the sports, it is poor.
Yeah, I think that announcement of players, then the ball, that thing.
I think the players purposely made like a conscious effort not to seem enthused by that whole thing.
Because they were like, let us just come and stand there and start the game, man.
Yeah. Like, you could see the PSG players in particular, like, them all squeezed on my face. You can see that, like, it was intentional. They were trying not to seem happy or anything about that whole thing. So maybe that one's if you affect
them. Do you reckon the World Cup next year they'll probably do the same thing at the World Cup?
Yeah, because basically this tournament was like a test run for the World Cup. Like, they were trialing everything they are going to do for the World Cup. So I know that halftime show is going to be present, definitely. Maybe the calling out the players and stuff thing, that one might be tentative. It might happen, it might not happen. But the halftime show definitely is going to happen. So, I don't know. But the whole Americanization of the sports is not something that sits well with me. I mean, we already had a pre-match show for these tournaments, which is fine for me. But halftime show, it's stretching it too much for me. So, I don't know. Like, there's just too much going on. Plus, these whole new rules that are also coming up in the upcoming season, like halftime interviews for the players, touchline interviews for substituted players.
Yeah, I think it's not great. Like, if then they score me, like the way then we score PSG by halftime, where you try, you see the no PSG player do the interview, they're going to load you, blow, eh? Master, you
like...
But I heard the Premier League wants to start doing that next year. I mean,
that's even where I heard the news that they're going to start doing touchline interviews and stuff.
I mean, to me, the only people I want to hear are referees. It'd be them way we won't hear why it be penalty clear, I pay the no take. That'd be what me
I
won't hear.
That's one positive thing that I think I'll take out. It's not like I'm against
our referees gonna be interviewed as well.
I don't know about that, but I know, like, for this tournament, when there's a decision there and the
referee announces it, I'll be very glad if they can do that next season.
Yeah, because that one, it gives more transparency to the decisions and stuff. And anything that gives the referees more accountability, I'm for it. Because referees are shielded way too much. So that's one thing that me, I'm okay with. Mm. But yeah, I think, like I said last week, the tournament in general, it was a good tournament. Seeing clubs from different continents playing each other, seeing how they match up against each other, it was generally a good thing to see. And even though again,
we made
like
some
I
good
said,
friends
like,
along the way, and we made some enemies too, like Flamengo. Then can't call with landing blue. We will finish. Then can't tweet congratulations to Chelsea. You know, shout out to the Chelsea Twitter or ex admin because he can't tweet. Chelsea not landing blue anymore. We and them no get so. Then they want
the same energy.
Then they want wish we. Where Noah and Servette say, oh, then they won't join. Like, I say, the group chat, we close them. Three clubs away, they there. Noah, Chelsea, then Servette. The only person we go add with FC Astana. If we then be one of other boys. When our boys with this, we will get group. Make nobody try we again. Men are not try we again. Then Flamengo people. They then the bomb me. Yeah. You, the score we finish, then they chat anyhow. We don't go meet Palmeiras and Fluminense now. Oh, you know, can you do us a favor? I mean, because we are Chelsea, we do favors to clubs. But, you know, we didn't do it because we like them. Make them not try, like, act like them. People are boys, then we let them get so. Keep the same energy. You know, the fine landing blue, make you no can't tweet with our name again. Keep our names out of your mouth. Finish. We let them no get so. But yeah, it'd be cool. But you want to talk about the football though?
I mean, yes, Chelsea played better than expected. Most people were expecting them to be steamrolled in the final.
But why though?
After,
like, wait.
I mean,
why?
Looking, you see, I think there are a lot of things that deceive people into thinking differently because in the end, the Real Madrid result. It's a bit deceptive because Real Madrid are basically a team in transition. Mm-hmm. They are also missing players in key positions. There are a lot of areas that they are yet to strengthen. So beating Real Madrid in a game like this, yes, no matter what, beating Real Madrid is always a good thing. But
yes.
I think it overestimated PSG in everybody's eyes. I mean, PSG is a great team. No doubt, on their road to winning the Champions League, they beat almost all the big boys and they beat everybody decisively. They're beating people 4-0, 5-0, big boys.
It wasn't close,
so, like,
basically.
In the end, it's understandable. Yeah. But again, in this tournament, I think Chelsea have played better than people give them credit for. I think the Flamengo defeat, the same way the Real Madrid victory for PSG bloated PSG's image in people's eyes. It's the same way the Flamengo defeat also dampened Chelsea's image in people's eyes. So I think after that, people just wrote Chelsea off completely. I don't think people were tipping them to win it in any case already. But that one just made people think that, okay, this team, yeah, they're no good fit. But again, they were lucky to be on the easy side of the
draw. I remember when Opta predicted that Chelsea will win. And the way people diss Sky Sports, we're dissing Opta, we're dissing all manner of persons. Look, there are very few teams in this football world and in my small life of being a football fan that I will write off when the whole world is against them. There are very, 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 very few teams. One of them is Arsenal Football Club. But apart from them, Chelsea is the one club you actually do not write off. When you see everybody saying, Chelsea, this one, they go score them, they go steamroll them, they go do this, they go do that. That's the day that if you're a person that takes bets, you take your money and then you go the opposite direction and say, I'm betting behind Chelsea. Because there's nothing within our history that suggests that when the world is against us, we, Chelsea Football Club, according to Flamengo, Landing Blue, champions of the world. There's absolutely nothing in our history that suggests that when the world is against us, that is the day we fumble. Impossible. Then it's not Chelsea Football Club. Impossible. Impossible.
The fact that you bring up betting stuff, you really trigger me. Because, you know...
If you miss me, that I'm going to tell you for free.
See, this entire tournament, I don't even open any betting websites. The entire tournament, I don't open any betting websites.
Mm-hmm.
This final pair, I see them all these things. I say, nah, make a bet PSG them are back. I put 500 CDs. And then you know what they're paying? The odds for PSG be 1.70. So then I said, nah, this one, I won't double the money. I don't want to get like just like 70%. I won't double the money fully. So I also go add, you know, the women's AFCON is also going on. You when go Nigeria, they go play against Nigeria, they play against Algeria women. When Nigeria, my odds be like 1.30, Algeria women be like 14. So I also add Nigeria to them. So say it will be around 2.0. It was 2.something. So say I put a 500 for top. I will get some 1,100. Both Chelsea win. Algeria women also draw. So the two best Oscar.
If you take that money, bet Black Queens, Seth, like maybe you go if he wins something. Then Seth, they do play 1-1 halftime against Tanzania. But at the end of the day, you see, I don't know why people do this all the time. Let's recount it. Munich 2012. Home team, FC Bayern Munich, in their stadium, with their fans, without our captain, and some of our key players like Mike Lisian and things. We played Mikel Obi in central midfield that day, and we played Ryan Bertrand, the left back, at left wing that day. Glory. Glory. 2021, Chelsea versus Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. You know, this is peak Man City. This is not a bunch of Busuyan, that's Man City. The one way Al Hilal and everybody defeats called them right now. Nobody that one. Peak Manchester City. Kevin De Bruyne, you know, Kun Aguero, all those people. They've won the Premier League, coming on a high. In Estadio de Dragao in Porto. Everybody just said, oh, it's gonna be the end. Oh my days, Chelsea Football Club, they're dead. Them dead. That'll be the time we wear this, Jesse. I hate him right now, but Kai Havertz. Bro, we rocked up to that final with a front three of Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, and Pulisic. Actually, no. Even Pulisic, Seth, he come on half time. I forget, Seth, who Seth be when a right winger.
Was it to miss a note?
We rocked up to that final with Mason Mount as a winger. Edward Mendy in goal. Ben Chilwell left back. In like 30 minutes, our defensive maestro, O Monstro, I salute you, sir. Thiago Silva injury, Kune, he left. Then we carry academy boy, Christensen, can't play center back. Christensen and Buriga. Our right back that day was our captain. What's his name? What be his name? Cesar Azpilicueta. I don't think you were for deep the club that you choose to hate. You go feel hate we. Look, if you know the one make we win the cup, just make sure they go come out we like quarter final, round of 16, that side. Then you go feel laugh we. But if you make mistake and you let Chelsea Football Club get to that final, you know, the matter if you be under 12, Chelsea, then they play. From under 12, straight to men's team, the senior team, where then they play right now. The second youngest squad in this Club World Cup, the youngest team in last season's, you know, Premier League. If it be them safe, if we see that trophy is going back to SW6.
You know, let me just make a small clarification. If you chat these things to people, you know, Man United you go take them on the top because we are the last team to beat you in the European final. So you go feel good do this all.
That was our first.
You go feel good.
That was our first European final. After we lost that final, we've not lost another European final ever since. No, anybody with care. The cash for the final, yeah, we go. We they make them the, if Ryan.
No,
Youssef, no, I don't know how they argue. No, like, so when you go sign him,
problem. Shut. See, so you.
Wait, make a finish. Make a finish. See, if I don't get it, I guess more of him like, oh, this is Chelsea, you go free show something. It won't be as easy as everybody said it. The moment I knew we will win this cup was when the lineup came and Chelsea fans started complaining. Ah, why is James in the middle? Why are you playing Malo Gusto? Why are you not playing Andre Silva? I said, ah, we win the cup, be that. We win the cup, be that. And from minute one, the so-called best team in the world. Bro, they were so confused. Like, at some point, I felt bad for them. At some point, bro, if it be that, Bobby, you see that picture where Jordan gets some drip, where then they try give him series or Don Simon or whatever, it's enough small, you check like they bear this, is at the next, they give up. Bro, that drip self, you know, the way we did them on Ectoper, then that drip self, you know, be tight enough. Bro, from minute one, where the thing where they bomb me, while, and I'm saying this for Kawawa, we start second half, then they do that, them a gimmick thing. Then we go throwing. We do now, where we just do bomb, we go them aside. Come press me, we see. Siafo. You know, I think the game was fantastic. Anybody that tries to pretend as if, and I mean, like, it's fine if you are jealous that Chelsea won and whatever. It's perfectly fine. It's understandable. Like, you don't like my club. I don't like your club. That's fine. But anybody that tries to say PSG didn't want it, or PSG were off, or PSG didn't... Massa, if they didn't want it, like, the coach no go through hands. At the end of the game. Eh? Everybody was talking about those that midfield. I wish Corey was here today. See that midfield we play yesterday. Real technicians. Not be electricians, them people, then they wear Timbaland and things. Not be them people. This is a real midfield. Yeah? Midfield, midfield. One midfield go red card. Vitinha at some point. Kopama give him face shot. He passing head inside. Did they watch the guy? No. He's shaking head. He said no. This guy is not a human being. The ball we play yesterday. And I'm so proud and happy for certain people. Number one, Enzo Fernandez. Make that guy where they calculate in winning percentage, you know. Make it come to the front of the class. Make it come to the front of the class. Make it can calculate E2 in trophy percentage. Make it take, put down, make we see something. Enzo Fernandez. That guy was run, the shift that he put in yesterday. And I don't even know why anybody was thinking about the fact that midfield that PSG has will better Chelsea's midfield. When all round across the competition, in terms of, if you compare Enzo to Vitinha, Enzo has been the better player. If you compare, as for Joao Neves against Caicedo, it's a disrespect to Caicedo. It's actually a disrespect to Caicedo. Go tell those boys in red that if your DM, they fly two free kicks, maybe that's going to give you trophy. Go tell those people. If your defender, if your midfielder, he gives two free kicks, so that's why he'd be good. That not be why, that not be how will they win trophy. Make them make serious. Make them start to buy electricians for that them are team inside. Huh? Make them start to buy electricians. Make them write real technicians. People wave, then get a ball. You say, ah, oh, yeah, Bema, Beji. And you know the worst part about this? All our best players have 10 years contracts. So if you want to buy Cole Palmer, 400 million. Or resumes, there no official. Best right back in the world. It's not even close.
You know, be here, they come do accounting for your players. Is it enough time on Chelsea?
At the time, wait. The time when Mason Mount left Chelsea Football Club, we just put out a tweet. If you have to beg them to build or carry the blocks with you, then they are not the ones to build with you. Since that guy left, he not played 30 matches, Seth. He played 30 matches for Man United. Well, you know the worst part of all of this? You pay with 52 million. Where that crossway is it if you go final? I remember when we sold him and somebody wrote an article saying that if Chelsea gets the add-ons, it means that Man United are doing better than Chelsea. Wow. What a day to be alive. We can't collect that 3 million kule because you catch that final where he plays some.
Please.
We can't collect that money. Where that money, we take pay the FFP thing with the old UEFA. You see?
At
the end of the day, the game was just so fantastic. We matched PSG tactically, psychologically, it wasn't even we were just over them. Physically, they weren't close. And this is what Enzo Maresca is. This is phase one Enzo Maresca, as Arsenal fans love to say. He's a world champion. And he'll be the world champion for 4 years. If he didn't like, make no win any trophy for the next 4 years. It's impossible because actually we are addicted to trophies. We've won two in 60 days. Wow, what a club.
In other major news that happened over the past week, Mohamed Kudus has signed for Tottenham Hotspur. The announcement video was actually a very good announcement video. I feel
popping.
Good announcement videos are a dying art. Probably because Man United were the kings of announcement videos and now we lose our ginger. So everybody knows.
If you say you know the fee sign players or if you say you know the fee do the videos. Or them sack the guy they do the videos.
In the combination of all of them, they sack the guy when he do the videos. The fans too, right now, if you sign player, we don't feel anything, like we'll be dead good. So
but why don't you feel anything? The copium, see Arsenal fans, then sign Gyokeres. See the way that my eye gets.
They finished second in the last three. At the very least, they finished second in the last three seasons or something. So they have much. We are 15th. What, like, if they tell me the second of the minute, we are the 15th way. They tell me the second of the minute.
You know, like, how you expect to make, react to them? The signing you make when you give up number 10, it comes from 16th to
15. So, Mohamed Kudus signed for Tottenham over the past few days.
Yeah.
Since Kudus is probably like the prince of Ghanaian football right now, it's a major thing for us. And at the moment, if you're looking at Ghanaian players playing at the highest level, we have Thomas Partey was just released by Arsenal for reasons which we cannot go too much into. So now, if you think about it, Kudus is now going to be the Ghanaian player playing at the highest level in terms of the level of his club and everything. So it's a huge move. And it's funny because his West Ham time has been a bit hot and cold. His first season was very good. His second season was very bad. But it looks really like he's failed upwards. Yeah. Underwhelming. But it looks like he's failed upwards because he's moved from West Ham to Tottenham for an even bigger fee that he signed for West Ham for.
Did he really fail upwards?
From West Ham to Tottenham is an upward movement. Like, that one is not
the only
question.
Upward movement that I see in there is that you move from East London to North London. That's the upward way me and they see.
He's going to play in the Champions League. Remember that.
Bro, let's just take a moment and really look at this holistically. This is a club that if they hadn't won this Europa League, they hadn't won a trophy since 2008. And then they just happened to meet the worst Man United team since the history of Man United. And then they fluked a 1-0 win and then they won. Great day for them, their first European trophy or their second or whatever it is. But do you realistically see them winning more trophies from here?
Whether I see them winning more trophies from here or not, Tottenham is a bigger club than West Ham.
West Ham fans might not agree with that, you know.
It'll be for them to agree or not. As Tottenham, they talk about them, they've not won a trophy in there and there and there. West Ham, the most recent trophy they win, it'll be that your Kunko trophy where you win this season where they take the step. And before that, when was the last trophy you won? I honestly can't remember. Probably decades. So, like, if you're going the trophy avenue, Tottenham is, like, regardless of where Tottenham are, they are still notch above West Ham. If it comes to fan base, Tottenham has a bigger fan base. If it comes to stadium, Tottenham has a bigger stadium. So, like, on what, like, what metric can you use to decide that they're even on the same level?
Like, I just don't think. Look, it's a fantastic move for Mo Kudus, because if he succeeds at Tottenham, that means two things. One, he's won trophies. And more importantly, he's been part of the core of people that have brought Tottenham back from wherever it was to wherever it is they're going. Tottenham have never been great, but what do I know, right? So that is the upside. And he gets another move out to probably a Liverpool or something, because I genuinely think the Chelsea boat is sailed, right? Chelsea did want him, but I personally didn't want him. Not because he's not a good player. I just didn't see where he was going to play. We are too rich in where he usually functions. And it's not a knock on Kudus' ability or anything like that. It's just at a point for talent to flourish, you can't put too many good players of the same ilk in the same position and just talk about them. Somebody will fall through the cracks. And it will hurt me that it will be more Kudus that we will do that too, right? So maybe a club like Tottenham is good for him in the grand scheme of things, in that he will get playing time because Kulusevski can't stay fit. So we know that that right-hand side, he can make it his. Or he could even take over the 10 over James Maddison, right? So there are variants of positions that he can play within Tottenham. But then Tottenham have signed him, and within 24 hours have also potentially completed the deal for Morgan Gibbs-White. So how does that work? Do you see what I mean?
I mean, I get what you mean, because the thing that I'm not too comfortable with about this move as a Ghanaian fan is that it's a little similar to what he went to meet at West Ham. I remember when he first moved to West Ham, we were having a conversation over here about where he's going to play. And everybody was obviously talking from emotions and saying, Kudus better pass Bowen, Kudus better pass Paqueta, he go play, like that kind of thing. But realistically, like, it's not just about talent, it's about effectiveness. If you ask me, yes, Kudus is a more talented player, at least than Bowen. I don't know about Paqueta, but at least Bowen is a more talented player. But in terms of what a manager would want from his players, Bowen would give his manager probably more from his position than what Kudus would, at least in the short term. Bowen is like a manager's dream. Tell him to do this, he'll do that. And he's going to give you high production. Kudus is still he's still a bit of a raw entity. We still like yet to reach where he's supposed to reach. So he can be a frustrating player for a manager to have. So before the West Ham move, we had this conversation and everybody was saying that he could play here, he could play here. In the end, we saw that particularly in the second season, he was shifted to the left, which was a very awkward fit for him, because the way he plays, left-footed player playing on the left wing these days, is not something that really works out too much. So we saw how that turned out. And West Ham also had a very terrible season. So it was just a bad season all around. So now he's come to Tottenham, where it's a bit of a similar situation where you are going to compete with Kulusevski. Like you said, he has his injury problems. But when he's fit, he's one of their best players, if not their best attacker right now, because Son has fallen off ever since Kane left. Kulusevski is really the one who has
Son
been carrying...
Son is still the owner of the left wing.
Even Son himself, there's been a lot of speculation about him possibly leaving, because the Europa final, he didn't even start, which tells you about how much his importance to the squad has dwindled. So Kulusevski, when he's fit, he's been the go-to guy most of the time in the attack. Maddison too, again, similar situation. He also has his injury problems. But when he's fit, he also records very high production numbers. So again, it might be a problem if those two players are fit and in form for Kudus to shift them, because in the end, you are the one going there, you are the new player, you are the one who has to shift them out of their position. So it's harder to be the person trying to shift the person out of their position than the person who is just trying to hold on to his position, because at least you know what you are getting from this person. And then we are also leaving out Brendan Johnson, who scored the winning goal in the Tottenham.
And not Tottenham, just Brendan Johnson, there's also Wilson Odobe, two there.
that one, the announcement will be a problem for Kudus.
See, again, and it's not because Kudus isn't better. It's because Odobe is already there. They have also Mathis Tell, who they've signed on a permanent, or I think they've completed that permanent
signing. He's going to be on the left.
So then on the left, you have Son, Tell, Odobe. On the right,
I'm not even going to consider him for the left, because if he plays on the left, it means he's just going to have another tough time over there, just like a second season at West Ham. Mm-hmm. So then the, that more means the focus that either, is on the center and the right.
So either he plays as a central midfielder or as a right attacking midfielder in the right pocket space, right? And look, again, I back Kudus to be fantastic against anybody. It's not because I'm a Ghanaian. It's because Kudus is a supreme talent. And when he puts his mind to it, he can do some very special things with the football at his feet, right? At the moment, I can't name three people in Tottenham that I can say, you know, realistically, that with the ball at their feet, they can do magical things than Kudus can. But again, it is, you have come into a new club who with already established players in these positions, with a new manager. Yes, maybe that might be his saving grace. It's a new manager, and he's now about to teach the whole group his way of how he wants to play. And so based on that, Kudus might be able to impress and nick a place ahead of these people we've mentioned. But if it's a level playing field and everybody's performing well, it's a bit tough, right? It's a bit tough.
Also, one thing that we also need to consider is, like you're saying, it's a new manager. And Thomas Frank has been playing a three-back system similar to Amorim as Brentford. So last season, he was pairing, a lot of times, he was pairing Mbeumo and Wissa up front as a front two, with Mbeumo playing a little bit withdrawn from like the front. Wissa.
So but basically, kind of, it's like a kind front of two. Like a front two, but with Mbeumo a bit behind. So yes. Like a supporting striker role.
So that one can even make it more complicated for Kudus, because suddenly that's not exactly his natural position. It's more adjustments for him. Probably, if anything, then he'd have to play through the middle. So, like, that one, too, is also another factor to be considered. But that is assuming Thomas Frank is another Ruben Amorim who that refuses to adapt.
I don't think so. He's if you watch his team, even the Brentford team, since he took over till he left this summer, they don't play exactly the same way every year. Every year, there's a little tweak. There's a little change to the system. There's a little, like, in the first season, he was playing Tony up top. And then he was having high-flying wingers who were running off-the-ball runs off Tony. So they were coming into the half space, and then just Tony comes in, chests the ball, spins it, and passes it, and they are going to get the ball. That was Wissa and Mbeumo. When they sold Tony, and they got this class, whatever his name is, guy, two, he changed it up a little. Then last season, he played this front two of Wissa and Mbeumo. So definitely, I trust that Thomas Frank will play according to the players he has and the tactics that will help them flourish and do well and bring to fruition his idea of football. My only worry is not in Kudus's ability. It is whether or not he will become somebody the manager loves or somebody that Thomas Frank will look at and say, that's my guy. Because if they had signed Kudus and he had played maybe 2, 3, 4 preseason games before they started going after Morgan Gibbs-White, I'll say, okay, fair enough. Maybe they need more. The manager has realized he needs more. But they signed him and then like 24 or 48 hours later, we all heard they've almost completed the signing of Morgan Gibbs-White, which because of that, they've now taken him to Man, I can say, be fucking guy. Them go cut. Say, how did you know about it? You will tell us today how you got to know about the release clause. The offer you made is too close to the release clause. It's too close. It's so close. You go tell me today.
Insider trading.
So because of that, that guy said, if he go preseason for nothing at all, he do like, he don't be in them, sign up, finish with them, and he tell us, he they go do medicals the next day. He report to duty, but for nothing, we know they want trouble. Right, and maybe the saving grace is that move doesn't pan out, right? And Gibbs White stays at Nottingham, and then that's one less competition for Kudus, and then he gets to cement his position. But these are, like, you are playing against the people that won the Europa League. I know I'm not a big fan of Tottenham or whatever, but there's a certain level of cult following that they've built. They will never forget them. They are the guys that won us a European trophy. Wow! Do you think they are forgetting them so easily and saying, oh, because of Mokudu's trash, Kulusevski or trash, Brendan Johnson or whatever? No. And those players too want to come into, are coming into this season with renewed hope, renewed vigor to stake their claim and say, yeah, we are really here. We are the ones who did it. So it's going to be a very tough season for Mokudu. For Ghana's sake, for the purposes of our World Cup qualification and progress as a nation, I really do hope that he's able to take it up, do what we know he can do, and cement his name as one of the first names on the team sheet of Thomas Frank. If Thomas Frank loves you, right, you will play. If he loves you, if you be in boy, forget. If you the full self, you go play. So he has this.
Go play safe.
You go play, play safe. We go beg him, Thomas, please, Thomas. You know, so my hope is that in this period where he's going for training and everything and embedding himself into the club and saying, oh, if you check my heart, you see Tottenham there. Yeah, all of this is nice for the sound bites, but the play is the ground I'm running from. When Thomas says, let's run, he must give 100%. Right? He must give 100%. He must take on board Thomas's instruction and execute it to the highest possible level. He must come to that training pitch, and everybody must know that Ghana star boy has arrived. And it's not going to be a dog walk for anybody to come into the starting 11. Because Tottenham are not the kind of team that you can just walk into and say, well, because I'm a 60 million or 55 million pound signing, I'm starting. Bro, oh boy. Because Brendan Johnson is also 50 million. So.
I think also another thing that might work against him is the fact that he wasn't their first choice, because obviously Mbeumo was their first choice. And then from Mbeumo, they actually moved to Antoine Semenyo before the Kudus deal just came up, and they realized that West Ham were willing to drop their demand. So I don't know whether that one might play a major factor in anything, but it's just something also to be considered. But again, back to the debate we had back when Kudus joined West Ham. We had a huge debate on this podcast about whether it was the right decision for him, because at the time, Brighton were also heavily interested. So we're actually,
I think they had agreed a deal, isn't it?
Yeah. So we're actually
debating whether... They had agreed a deal before West Ham came in.
Yes. So we're debating whether Brighton would have been a better move for him than West Ham. And I think a lot of us were actually leaning towards a Brighton move for him. So now, can we say that, like, that's actually the move he should have made? Do you think, considering Brighton's track record with developing young players and moving them on to bigger clubs, particularly Chelsea, can we say that... Then they enter the mine inside, go find some gold and things, Galamse boys, they go find a gold and they go polish them, then sell them to Chelsea.
For then, then they cook some boy, be give with Baleba. Next year, we go take one a boy.
Make Baleba, just you don't want them, so what's your hold on?
Bro, yeah, if
we finish the layoff on our staff and things, you go see me for the market.
First of all, you and Mbeumo, look, do you know how? Sorry, I digress.
Also, on a Wi-Fi subscription first, then you go see something. We go show you something.
See, do you know how crazy it is that you guys started? Like, we got a Man United are closing on Mbeumo when Chelsea and Mike Maignan were doing negotiation. In that period, Chelsea have signed Delap, João Pedro. Tottenham have signed Kudus. What be his name? Arsenal. Arsenal has signed Zubimendi. They've finished Norgard. They've signed, or they've agreed a deal for Victor Gyokeres. They've signed Noni Madueke. They've signed Arsenal to them signed players. Mascara or Mascara or whatever his name be.
God's time is the best.
AC Milan. Do you know how crazy it is? AC Milan have signed Modric.
So, in summary,
Real Madrid have signed what we did,
Trent, and even got a new coach. So in summary, yes, we all wish Kudus the best. We are hoping that Charlie.
Let me give a comment. I still think that West Ham move was good for him in the grand scheme of things. Look, let's look at that Brighton right-hand side, right attacking midfielder space, and how many players they've turned over in this period.
They had none of them are as talented as Kudus.
Sorry?
None of them are as talented as Kudus. Adingra and things.
Well, they have Adingra. They have, what's that guy that played last season?
Adingra has been selling to Sunderland now.
Yeah, but they had some other guy, not just Adingra. There was another guy.
And Siso?
No, is Adingra the guy from Burkina?
Adingra be, I think Ivorian or something.
They had another guy there, another African. Yankuba Minte. If we hear they talk about Brighton, have had Minte, they've had this guy, Solomon Adingra, they've had Enciso, João Pedro, they've had what's the Japanese guy's name?
Mitoma is a left winger.
Look, me, I'm just looking across because Brighton, they don't necessarily, they sometimes play a very fluid front line, so people move around and all of that. And I wonder to myself, one at the time, the coach that really wanted him was, what's his name? What's this guy's name that is going to Brighton's former coach, De Zerbi. And now that he has, and De Zerbi left, what was the guarantees that coach, the new coach that has come there, Herzler, whatever his name is, would have kept him and played him where he wanted to play? Do you understand? Because he also brought his own ideas and they played a bit differently last season. So at the end of the day, I don't know if Brighton would have worked. It's a matter of we all don't know. All we know is that he went to West Ham. In his first year, he balled out. Last season was very poor in terms of numbers, in terms of goals and assists. But still, he still did more kudos. Highest percentage of dribbling across the league. You know, he created chances and all of that. He just didn't shine as much as we know he can. And that is the standard. It's because we have him at that standard. Big players sometimes have off seasons, and it's perfectly fine. I will not be surprised at all if this season starts and he explodes once again. What he has to now do is to perform consistently across 38 games in the season in the Premier League, do well in the Champions League, which is something that he's done before. I want him to play in Tottenham in a way that when you think Tottenham, the first player I think about is Mo Kudus. Best player in that team, undoubted, right? And that's what I wish for him, because Eja, he's our only star boy we've got, right? He's the only star player that we've got. He and Semenyo, right now, Semenyo has decided to hitch his camp with Bournemouth. That's perfectly fine. I think it's a very good deal for him. But at the end of the day, Kudus has gone to Tottenham, and I hope for his own sake that he does really well over there, because it will be a big shame for a player of his stature to also now come here and he's not performing, and 1 year from now, he's probably looking for like some low move somewhere else so he can get playing time and all those things. It'll make me really, really, really sad. It'll make me really, really sad.
So, in summary, we wish Kudus all the best at Tottenham. Yeah. That's the one player who, when he's moving to a club that we don't support, we wish him the best, because his success is our success. So, anyway, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast, DCR, TikTok, After the Whistle, YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast. Remember to leave a comment, give us feedback on our episodes so we know what we are doing right, what we are doing wrong. If there's any controversial thing we've said that you feel like you want to comment on, just feel free to talk about it. Last week, the Chelsea fans decided to say they'll come do my top on TikTok because they say, me, I'll be Chelsea hater. Me, I'll just express the feelings of every righteous and every football purist. Anybody who loves a beautiful game, they share the opinions that I have. So if you don't share my opinions, that's on to you. So me, I don't have much to say about that. So the Chelsea fans, you can keep ranting in the TikTok comments. No more concern.
We are world champions. So, yeah. We don't dabble with people that are not even close to us.
We've come to the end of this episode. So thank you guys for listening. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.
Shout out to Chelsea fans.